Good morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God. And if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 27, in just a moment I'd like to read a passage of Scripture there. And as you're turning to Psalm 27, I want us to think about the idea of coming to worship and going home from worship. I don't know about you, but I know in growing up, I have always heard a lot of lessons about the importance of coming to a worship service. Sometimes there may be an issue of attendance, and somebody is not attending maybe like they should. And so someone will ask me, well, will you bring a lesson on coming to worship service and the importance of that? And I remember growing up hearing a lot of lessons about that, and I have given lessons like that. And we certainly need to think about the importance of coming to worship God. When you consider who we're here to worship, we would want to be here. In Psalm 27, in verse 4, one thing have I asked for of Jehovah, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 27 and verse 4. Turn with me to Psalm 84 and verse 10. We need to think about the importance of being here to worship the Almighty God of heaven. In Psalm 84 and verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so David says, one thing have I asked for. That was his goal. That was his priority. That was what he put first. Just one thing. I want to be in God's house. And then I would rather spend one day as a doorkeeper in the temple than a thousand somewhere else. And so clearly the importance of coming to worship God. And then turn with me to Psalm 122 and verse 1. Psalm 122 and verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Jehovah. Our feet are standing within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And so it's a joyful thing and it's a glad thing that when we hear that we can come to worship God. And so we're going to be back this evening at 5 p.m. I was glad when I learned of that. And we're going to come back Wednesday at 7 p.m. and we're going to come back every night for a gospel meeting. And I was glad when I heard that we could do that. You see, so we're excited about coming to worship. And maybe you've heard lessons along those lines. And if anyone was ever struggling with their attendance or something along those lines, I would hope that these passages would help us to realize that we're coming to worship God and what a great thing that is. But have you ever heard a sermon on the importance of leaving the worship service? Have you ever thought about how you're going to go home this morning? That's what I want to talk about this morning. We're not going to talk about the importance of coming. We're going to talk about the importance of going the right way. And I don't mean leaving in our car, and I don't mean whether we're going to go to a restaurant or going to go home to eat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we're going to carry with us when we leave this morning. What will our attitude be? What will our relationship with God be? Have you ever thought about leaving worship? Have you ever thought about how you're going to go home this morning? That's what I want us to focus on this morning. And if you think about it, what good is it to come to Jesus? What good is it? We just sang Larry Lettuce, oh, worship the King, taken from a passage there in 1 Timothy about Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come to worship God. We come to worship Christ. But what good is it if we're going to leave unchanged? We remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22. And when you look at that story, and we've looked at that recently in our gospel meeting, when you look at that story, you find that this man didn't just simply come to Jesus, but we find him running to Jesus. We find him asking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We have him coming with a great attitude. He's excited and all of that. But when Jesus says that you need to go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me, we find that He turned away and left sorrowful, for he was one that had great riches. But the point is, why come? Earlier in the story, he asked, what must I do to have eternal life? But why ask that if you're not going to pay attention to the answer? Why come to Jesus if you're going to leave unchanged? Why come all excited if you're going to leave sorrowful? So there's something to be said for leaving. There's something to be said for what happens when we're in the presence of Jesus and when we're here worshiping God. And so I want us to think this morning about how we're going to go home. How are you going to go home today? In just a moment, I'm going to finish. And in just a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. And not just talking about the sermon, but we've already done some singing, we've done some praying, we've just finished the Lord's Supper. When you take all of that together, from our time here this morning, from 9 to 11 or so, depending how long-winded the preacher is, when you take that two-hour period of time, how are you going to go home? How am I going to go home? Well, in order for us to think about this morning, I want us to turn in our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 18. Jesus often taught important lessons in parables. And there's a parable here in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, that I want us to read together this morning and learn from. And I want you to ask yourself, as you read this parable and as I read this parable, which man am I? There were two men who went to the temple to pray. They went to worship. Okay? And then there's two men who go home from worship. They both came with some similar features, but they leave differently. And so we're all here. We've all come to worship God. But how are you going to leave? How am I going to leave? In Luke chapter 18 and verse 14, this man went down to his house. That's what I want you to underscore in your Bible this morning. How are you going to go to your house this morning? They came to worship God, but they went home. One went home one way, the other one went home another way. How are you going to go home today? We're all going to go home this afternoon. How are you going to go home? Well, let's read the parable. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, he spake this parable unto certain, speaking of the Jews and particularly those among the Pharisees, certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They were not relying upon the grace of God and the mercy of God and forgiveness from God. But they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they set all others at naught, especially the Gentiles and maybe even some other Jews. Two men went up into the temple to pray. So they're coming to worship God. In verse 14, they're going home. This is a story about coming to worship God and then going home. And what can we learn this morning from it? Well, two men went up into the temple to pray. They were going there to worship God. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Well, apparently, they're close enough where the man can look over and see this publican. Okay, so we've come to worship God. One is praying to God, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like the rest. And like this man right over here, you see. So apparently close enough to see him, maybe even hear him. So I'm glad that I'm not like these people. Verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. And so there's a publican who's standing away, maybe close enough for this Pharisee to see him, but he's away, and he's praying now. He would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Two things there. And so it's the idea of looking down in humility, looking down possibly with guilt in his mind, and the smiting of the breast, even in the Old Testament times, the tearing of the clothes and the smiting of the breast, pounding on your chest. I'm a sinner. And so the idea that I am not worthy to be in the presence of God, these things are showing humility. These things are showing that the statements and the mannerisms are showing that he believes that he needs forgiveness. I say unto you, now remember who he's talking to, verse 9. Certain people who trust in themselves. Jesus would do that. Jesus would talk to people, and he knew where their heart was. If you back up to chapter 16 and verse 14, chapter 16 and verse 14, and the Pharisees who were lovers of money heard all these things. Jesus had been talking about the prodigal son and so forth. Heard all these things, and they scoffed at him. And he said unto them, you are they that justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knoweth your hearts. Jesus sometimes would talk to Pharisees, and he knew their self-righteous, smug attitude. And he would often address that. And so he's talking to people like that in this parable. And then in verse 14, I say unto you, you people, verse 9, who trust in yourselves, I say unto you, for everyone... I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified, right with God, in a right relationship, rather than the other. They both came to worship God, but they left, they went home differently. One went home justified, the other did not. For everyone that exalteth himself, like the proud Pharisee, shall be humbled. But he that humbleth himself, like the contrite, humble publican, he shall be exalted. And so I want us to consider this morning this matter. We've all come to worship God. But how are you going to go home this morning? How am I going to go home this morning? There will always be similarities and differences among people who come to a worship service. There are going to be things that are the same in all of us this morning. In any given service, whether here or in another local congregation, there will be similarities in our attitude, in our disposition, what we're looking for, what we desire. But there will also be differences. And often the differences consist in how we go home. Not everybody's going to go home the same way. Not everybody's going to go home with the same attitude. Not everybody's going to go home with the same benefit. Not everybody's going to go home in the same relationship with God. Some will go home saved and others will go home lost, you see. We've got to think about verse 14. This man went down to his house. And you're going to do that in just a moment. And I'm going to do that. How are we going to leave? Notice that one had a self-righteous attitude. The other had a humble attitude. The similarities is they both came to worship God. But then all of a sudden we see differences. We see differences in their attitude. One was self-righteous. The other one was humble. One prayed and well, I'm not going to be like the rest. And this is all the stuff that I do that's right. And there's nothing wrong. Look at those things. There's nothing wrong with tithing. That was a part of the law. There was nothing wrong with staying away from adultery and these types of things. That's a part of the law. But his attitude was, this and this alone is what makes me right. I don't need other things. He had trusted in himself. There is an element of works righteousness here. I'm doing these things and these things are making me right. He had pulled away from complete trust in God. His trust was in himself. He still acknowledged God. Obviously, that's why he's praying to him. But there's an element of trusting in himself more than in God. The other man has a humble attitude. And be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. I'm willing to admit that I need to make some changes. And at this time, remember, Jesus is talking to people who are still under the old law. That's why they're going to the temple. And so there would be the offering up of sacrifices and whatever it would take for that sinner to be made right with God. He would need to do that. He's living under the Old Testament system there. But he was willing to do that. And so he went home right with God. It started with his humble prayer and so forth. But they went home differently. There's some similarities. They both came to worship. They both came to pray to God. They both recognized God. But there's some differences. And the difference was what happened while they were there. determined how they went home. One went home satisfied. The other one went home justified. And there's a big difference. The one went home, I was right with God before I came, and I'm still right with God. The other one was, I'm not right with God, and I'm going to pray for forgiveness. And then he went home justified. How are you going to go home this morning? How am I going to go home from worship? I think it's great to have lessons from time to time on the importance of coming to worship services, especially for someone who struggles with getting here. The things of the world are keeping them away. They would rather be out fishing or playing golf or watching TV or whatever. And so they need lessons on the importance of being here to worship the Almighty God. But we also need some lessons from time to time on how do we go home. How are we going to go down to our home this morning? Well, let's begin with the one right here in this parable. Will you be going home today justified? Something to think about. So we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. We're going to leave this building. That means right with God, in a right relationship with God. Under the old law, it would have involved being in the temple and bringing the sacrifices and doing those types of things. Today, it is obeying the gospel plan of salvation, repenting and being baptized for the remission of our sins and living properly as a Christian. Will you be going home that way today? Do you know what you need to do to become a Christian? And will you do that? And will you be going home justified today? As we pull out of the parking lot, that's a sobering thought. And it's not just a matter of being baptized into Christ, but those of us who have followed that gospel plan of salvation, can a Christian lapse back into sin? Can a Christian have some sin in their life like Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8? Absolutely. And so we could pull out of the parking lot having been baptized years ago, but having sin in our life that's unrepented of and unconfessed and has not been prayed for and truly repentant of. Are you going to go home justified? Am I going to go home justified? What good is it to come if we're not going to leave right with God? What good is it? Well, while we're here, we're learning. That's right. But after a point, after all of the learning, after all of the study, after all of the understanding, we need to apply it. How are you going to go home? How am I going to go home? To be justified means to be made right with God. And so we have to contact the blood of Jesus in order to do that. Turn with me to Romans, the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verse 24, Paul talks about those who believe on him that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses. And that's, Jake talked about that at the Lord's table, dying on the cross for our sins, and was raised for our justification. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace. Being justified by faith, we have to believe that Jesus died, chapter 4, verse 24, and was raised, verse 25. We were justified by faith. Well, what are we believing in and how is that applied? Turn with me now to chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer live in bondage. For he that hath died, talking about the person, he that hath died is justified from sin. Well, when did that happen? Back up to verse 3, 4, and 5. When we die to that old man, and we're buried with him in baptism, and we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 7, we who have died are justified from sin. That's the point at which we get rid of that sin. We're freed from that. We're let go from that. And we're made right with God. Will you go home that way? Will I go home that way? How are you going to go home today? How are you going to go down to your house? If you need to obey the gospel, you need to do that. Or as an erring child of God, we need to repent and pray because we're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity when we have sin in our life, using the words of Peter in Acts chapter 8. Will you go home today justified in a right relationship with God? If the answer is no, then let's make some changes before we go home. Will you be going home today edified? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. We are here to be built up and encouraged. And when we go home and when we drive out of that parking lot this morning, I hope that we're all going out built up and edified. That's the purpose of the service. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 26, Paul has been talking about a number of things involving spiritual gifts and the use of them, particularly speaking in tongues. But his bottom line here is that in the exercise of these gifts, that when you're in the local assembly, it is to be for the building up or the edifying of the body. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, we're all coming to worship God. When you come together, each one hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. That is the purpose of coming together. Some of the persons at Corinth had been exercising spiritual gifts, and they weren't doing it with love and so forth, and they had lost sight of the big picture. Everything here that we're doing, it doesn't matter whether you have a psalm, an interpretation, a tongue, whatever it is, you've got these gifts, it's all to be done unto edifying, building up of that body. Now, we don't have these spiritual gifts today, but the assembly is still for that purpose. Other passages talk about when we're here, we're edified. Have you ever come to a worship service as I have, and you're not really feeling well spiritually? You're just not feeling well. Something going on in your life, something going on personally or otherwise, and you're here and you're just not feeling well spiritually. Have you ever experienced that? But then once the song starts, you get encouraged. I do. Something is said in a Bible class that's encouraging. A prayer is encouraging. The Lord's Supper. And I've left being built up better than when I came. Singing does that to me. Studying the Bible does that to me. And so we're here to be built up and edified. And I hope that I give lessons from week to week that are edifying and encouraging. I hope this is one. I hope all of mine are. But the singing and other things that we do, will you go home edified? I hope we will, because that's why we're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be built up and encouraged and strengthened to help us make it through the week and help us to ward off those fiery darts of the evil one. Will you be going home today joyful? Have you ever come and you're not feeling well? And you're here, and after being here, you feel better. We're to be here in the worship service, and we're to be joyful while we are here. We might actually have a smile on our face, or at least internally we might be smiling. But you think about, for example, the matter of giving, these acts of worship that we engage in. God loveth a cheerful giver, and so we're to lay by in store on the first day of the week. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, the implication is there when you're giving, at the moment that you're giving, you're to be cheerful in that. That's a part of the worship service. Will you be going home joyful? I know you'll be going home joyful if you've just been baptized into Christ, because how did the eunuch go on his way? He went on his way rejoicing, didn't he? So I know you'll go home happy. But when we worship God, that the acts of worship that we engage in involve the matter of joy. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 6, and we'll go ahead and look. We'll look at that in just a moment. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 6. There is joy in singing, for example. There is joy in giving. There is joy in Bible study when we learn and when we grow. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, talking about the singing. We did some singing this morning. Each time we sing a song, there needs to be joy in our heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're going to talk about admonishing in just a moment. But look at this last part. Singing with grace in your hearts unto God. That's singing with thanks. Well, that implies joy. When we drive out of this parking lot, we need to be happy for being here and from the things that we've been doing here, the singing and letting the Word of Christ dwell in us, you see. We're taught, look at this, in verse 16, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thanks or grace in your hearts, you see. Will you be going home today having learned something that makes you happy, makes you more wise? You've been taught, you've been admonished, you see. But you're singing with thanksgiving and grace, and that implies joy. Will you be going home happy today? I hope so. That's what the Lord wants from us. Will you be going home today filled with the Spirit? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and as we're turning over there, I do not mean by that what is commonly meant by that with some emotional high where there was loud band music and where there was shouting and carrying on and people falling around and doing this and that. I'm talking about what is explained here, that we're filled with the words of the Spirit and we know more. We're more mature, we're more like the Spirit, we're driving out the parking lot wanting to produce the fruits of the Spirit in a wicked world. We know that we're going to have to face work later or school or young people or whatever the case might be, but we're going to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, that He, the Father, would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. How? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be strong. Look in verse 16, strengthened. Verse 18, be strong. Are you going to leave this morning strong spiritually? Where you're rooted and grounded. Think about roots going down in and holding on. So when the devil assaults you or assails you this week, you're going to be strong. Our young people need to leave strong. Our young Christians here this morning need to use every worship service to be strengthened because you face some difficult things. Immodest dress, bad words, other kinds of behaviors of people your age. And so you're here and you're going to be strengthened with the power of His Spirit in the inward man. You see, it's not about something going on externally that gets me hyped up and built up. It's the inward man that is strengthened. Then the next verse, Christ dwelling in my heart through faith. This deals with the words of Christ, the words of the Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. That's why our Bible study is so important when we come together in a worship assembly. Whether it's preaching or, to use the words of Acts 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That was a part of the service. Acts 20, when they gathered together for the Lord's Supper, Paul also preached. Why? Because the words of the Spirit are what strengthen us. And so look at chapter 5 and verse 18. We're not to be filled with some external thing. Be not drunken with wine. Paul is talking to the Ephesian brethren. Many of them, we know from Acts 18 that some of them would have been Jews who were converted out of the synagogue. Some of them were also Gentiles. We know about the Demetrius the silversmith and the riot there in town and all of those that were chanting, "Great is Diana, goddess of the Ephesians," and so forth. There would have been people in this congregation who would have had a background with wine and the effects of wine. And Paul is saying, that's not what you're filled with. If you're filled with that, it's going to produce something. It's going to make you change. If you sit and drink all of that, when you go home, you'll be staggering, and you're going to go home in a number of ways not so good. Wherein is filled with riot, excess, makes you do and say and think things that you shouldn't do. Don't be filled with that. That is life-altering. That's life-changing. And we know about the drunk, and we know about the man and the woman who goes down to the bar, and after a while they leave. We know the life-altering changes that it makes. Paul's saying that's not the kind of change we want. That's not how we want to be filled. Be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. If you want to fill up on something, let it be the Holy Spirit. And then he explains how. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. The implication there is that it's a joyful thing. It's a happy thing, a thanksgiving. Making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Be filled with the Spirit. That's how we need to go home this morning. Filled with the words of the Spirit, and His words change our life. And His words make us go out and be that Christian that we need to be. And in Galatians 5, we're producing the fruits of the Spirit. Will you go home this morning admonished? The word literally means warned. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, where we were earlier with regard to singing and so forth, the first part, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This morning we're hearing the word of Christ. In our Bible classes we hear the word of Christ. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing does two things. It teaches us. We learn in our songs. We learn about things when those songs are based upon biblical principles. But admonishing one another. The word there literally means warning. Will we go home this morning admonished, warned about the second coming, warned about the judgment day, warned about being lost in sin? We sang some songs. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. Soulless Savior, Thou art needing. Well, that's a warning. We need Jesus. And if we don't obey Him, there's going to be a problem in the judgment day. Will you go home admonished? Will I go home admonished? You see, it's important to come. And it's important to have lessons on encouraging people to come. But how are you going to go home this morning? How am I going to go home? Let's go home the way God wants us to go home. Right with Him, justified, built up, encouraged, edified, joyful, filled with the Spirit, warned about important things in life. And will you be going home today stirred up? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. As I mentioned before, and I'm sure this has happened with you, you think about all of the worship services that you've been to in your entire life. Have there ever been any where you came and you just weren't feeling right? That happens. When you consider 52 weeks out of the year and twice on Sunday and a Wednesday night and some gospel meetings, that's hundreds of services in your lifetime. Hundreds of services. Thousands of services. Some of those are going to be where we're coming through that door and we're just not feeling right because of something that's happened. Hopefully, by the end of the service, we're joyful, we're edified, we're picked up, we're built up, but we're also stirred up to love and good works, to go out and do what we need to do. The book of Hebrews is written towards some who were leaving Christ and falling away. They were apostatizing. The Hebrew writer is trying to get them back. One thing that he uses, one argument that he uses is this: let us. If we gather together, we can encourage one another. But one of the things, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke, or some versions say, stir up unto love and good works. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the custom of some, but exhorting one another. That's what the assembly does. That's what the coming together does. So much as you see the day drawing nigh. And if this is the judgment day, this assembling together would certainly encourage us to be ready for that day. But verse 24, to stir up unto love and good works. Something's going to be said that will encourage us to go out and visit someone, call someone, talk with someone about the gospel. And I hope that we go home this morning, and each time, tonight, Wednesday night, gospel meeting, I hope that we go home stirred up, provoked. Sometimes the devil gets us to be settled. We're settled. We come and go, and we're just settled. And we're settled on the matter of, well, I know there's people lost in Springfield, but you know, I really don't have time to talk with them. We're kind of settled. We need to get stirred up. No. Jude 22 and 23, we need to snatch them out of the fire of the devil. Snatching them out of the fire. We need to get stirred up. You know, you've got that fire out in the yard, that campfire, and it settles way down, and it's about to go out. You take a stick and get in there and stir all that up. All of a sudden, flames come up. The heat, a little more heat there, a little more light, you see. Flames shooting up again. Why? You stirred it up. I hope that we'll go home stirred up, because the devil has a way of, like one of the minor prophets says, settled on your lees. Settled, the talking about the wine barrel where all of the grape, there'd be little parts of grapes in there, the skin and seeds, and it would all settle down. You got this sediment on the bottom. And he's talking about Israel who's settled on their lees. It's just that stagnant stuff down at the bottom. The devil has a way of getting us to do that. So we're just settled about personal work. And we've gotten settled about visiting someone, a shut-in or someone who... We're just kind of settled down there, and it's... We need to get stirred up. Maybe the sermon will do that. Maybe the singing will do that, or a prayer, or the announcements, or something. And so, what does the assembly do? Let us consider one another to stir up unto love and good works. How? Not forsaking our assembling together. When we come together, we stir each other up. Think of it as a huddle on the football field. You're about to go make that play. You get in that huddle and you encourage each other. You huddle up. You say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. Everybody claps their hands. You line up on the line. You see, it's a getting together to stir us up, because the devil has a way of getting us to be settled. Will we go home this morning stirred up to do something more than we've done maybe last week? And then finally, will you go home today? Will I go home today a doer of the word? I asked Mason if he would read James chapter 1. I wanted to close with this passage. It does us no good to be a hearer of the word if we're not going to go out and be a doer of the word. David has been talking, and in some cases quite pointedly, about the need for elders and deacons, and that's good. But the question is, are you going to go out and do that? Am I going to go out and do that? If we're in that position to do that, not every man is. I understand that. Well, Dave did a great job. Well, we heard it, but now are we going to go out and do it? Are we going to work toward that? Or whatever the lesson is. It does not benefit us until we go out and put it into practice. And so, wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, that's... driving up to the church building. Receiving with meekness the implanted word, that's inside the church building. Be doers of the word, that's driving out of the church building, you see. We've got to come with the right attitude. We've got to sit here and hear it, but then we've got to go out and be doers of the word. Not hearers only, deluding ourselves, but hearers and doers. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, that's while we're in the church building, and not a doer, once we're driving out the parking lot, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He hasn't applied the word of God. He's in the same spiritual state or lack thereof as when he came. But he that looketh into the perfect law, we open up our New Testaments, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed, look at it, in his doing. That's where the blessing comes, when we go out and we apply the word. The devil doesn't mind if we hear it, as long as we forget it later and not do it. But the blessing is in the doing. And so as we come to the close of our lesson this morning, I want us to think about Luke 18:14. This man went down to his house. You're going to go to your house. I'm going to go to my house. Let's go this morning the right way, right with God and all of these things that He wants in our life. And so as we close, I think there's a lesson here for the leadership in a local congregation with elders. Knowing how God wants us to go home, wouldn't that send a message to the leadership concerning what is planned for the service? The elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, if you'll turn over there, they are to shepherd the flock and they are to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. The leadership is to feed the church of the Lord. They are to plan the worship service so that there is the feeding of the Lord's flock. I wonder sometimes if leadership has forgotten about that. We're getting more and more entertainment from the pulpit, and elders are fine with that. We're getting more and more of a service, or if we might have a vacation Bible school or something along those lines, where there's more fun and games and entertainment, and the elders are fine with that. But that doesn't lead to truly being justified with God, edified, filled with the Spirit, admonished, these types of things. What it does is it just provides for fun and games. There's a lesson here for the leadership. What is planned needs to be that which will accomplish what the Lord wants. And feeding the flock with God's Word will do that. Entertainment will not. You know, there's a lesson here for the preacher. What is proclaimed from the pulpit? The preacher must preach the Word, be urgent in season and out of season. Anything else will not allow you to go home in the right way. There are people that go home because food has been passed out and fun and games have been done and a movie's been watched. And I'm talking about just in the denominational world. And they're going home, but they're not going home justified. They're not going home right with God. And so there is an obligation on me as a minister of God's Word to proclaim that, and only that which is going to allow you to go home the right way. And what that is preach the Word, nothing else. And then last of all, there's a lesson here for the audience members. And I place myself here just as you are. Because there's times when I'm sitting where you are and I'm on the other end of the sermon and one of the men is standing up and I'm an audience member. And my attitude, my thought has to be right. For me to go home justified and edified and joyful and filled with the Spirit and these other kinds of things, my attitude has got to be right while I'm sitting there. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when Peter got done preaching, the Scripture says they were pricked in their heart. Our attitude needs to be, I've got to get up and make my life right. That deals with my attitude. And in Acts chapter 17, when Paul is preaching in Berea, they examine the Scriptures to see if these things were so. That speaks to attitude. Have you ever heard somebody say, on the way out of the building or driving out the parking lot or going, I just didn't get much out of that service. Well, what did you put into it? I didn't get much out of the singing or the praying, or I didn't get much out of that sermon. I just didn't get much out of it. Well, what did you put into it? What was your attitude? What was your thought while you were sitting there, while I was sitting there? I enjoy sitting and hearing somebody preach. I often take notes. I'm thinking about those things that he's saying and other Bible matters. And I'm trying to learn and I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to put something into that. And so what is my attitude? I'm going to go home justified when my attitude is I'm pricked. Think of it as a sticker hurting you up. And that gets me up and gets me going. Otherwise, I'm not going to go home justified. Or I just don't have much joy. I'm just not edified. Well, what did you put into that, you see? Sing out. Get our Bible open. Enjoy the service. Be a part of the service. And then we find ourselves going down to our home the way God wants us to go down to our home. And so for the leadership and the preacher and whether we're an audience member or taking some other part, there's a lesson here for all of us. In just a moment, we're going to leave this building and go down to our home. How are you going to go home? We're going to sing a song of encouragement, which will allow you an opportunity to step forward. The water is ready. There's garments here. We can change. We can do whatever it takes so that you can go home justified. Wouldn't that be a great way to go home? You stop and think about that. You're going to leave the parking lot, and you don't have to worry about passing away. You don't have to worry about a car accident. You don't have to worry about the Lord coming again. You're going home justified. Wouldn't that be a great way to go home? And whatever you have planned for this afternoon, you know that you're right with God. Your time has come. The Lord can take you. It could be like my grandfather who went out to the car to go to services, had a heart attack right there. Never got the car started. We were down there that Sunday morning waiting for him to pull the car up, and Grandpa never pulled up. And so Mom said to my brother Dale, why don't you walk out there to the garage and see what's going on? He was sitting right there. He had a heart attack. His time was up. That was it. I think he was ready to go based upon the fruit of his life and what I saw in my grandfather. But you don't know. That was it. His time was up. I thought about that scripture that Jake read, talking about in Mark 15 there. He breathed his last. You realize that that's coming for you one day and for me? Up there visiting my mother in the nursing home, and chest would go up and it'd go down. And it just took a long time for it to come back up. You know, when somebody's getting to that point in their life, and then it'll come up. It goes down, and it just takes a long time for it to come back up. Well, we weren't there at 4:23 or so, but one time it went down, and it just never came up again. She breathed her last. That's life. So, knowing all of that, wouldn't you rather just go home today justified? And go home the way God wants us to go home. And if we can help you in that, if you want to study more, if you want to talk about something, we're going to sing the song of encouragement, Make Your Life Right. And as we come each time, it's great that we come. But tonight, and again on Wednesday night, and whenever, let us go home the way God wants us to go home with all of these things that we've talked about. And you know, when you go home that way, you'll be ready to come back at the next service. And I hope that we've encouraged ourselves along those lines. If we can help in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?